Good morning. So I have to tell you, when I saw the passage that I was going to be preaching on this morning, I laughed. And this is either going to be the best sermon that you'll ever hear or the worst, based on how I give this. Because today we are going to be talking about worry and what Jesus has to say about worry. And I'm probably the biggest worrier in the world. The sad thing about that is that I recognize it in me, and it doesn't propel me forward. It doesn't do any good for me. It does get me stuck in these circular patterns where my brain just kind of keeps going over and over. If anything, it probably gives me a few gray hairs on my head, which cause me to worry even more. But worry and anxiety are deeply embedded in our contemporary American culture. And God reveals to us that worrying accomplishes nothing. And he invites us to seek his kingdom. And so let's take a look at what Jesus has to say about worry this morning. Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, and we give you thanks for this day. We ask that you would silence the noise in our minds. Help us to focus on your word. Open our ears that we may hear you speaking, our eyes that we can see you in a new light, and our hearts that you may enter in. May we feel your presence calming our spirits this morning. We pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. So this teaching this morning, we're going to take a step backwards, actually. This teaching starts with the word therefore. And so usually when we see therefore, it means that that story is connected to what came just before it. So in this case, we see that Jesus is saying right before it, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." We live in a culture where money has become our focus. It may not intentionally be our focus, but nevertheless, we do focus on it, both in the financial world of our practical living and also in our minds. For some of us, maybe it's more on the back burner of our minds, and for some of us, maybe it's on the forefront. I looked at a number of articles online to see what are the top stressors that people have in their lives. And what I came up with was death, divorce, moving, illness, and job loss. All of these things in some way can relate around money. In my ministry with hospice, I have been with so many families that have said, well, we've, you know, poured all of our money into seeking treatments, and then we had to find higher home health care because we took the time off to take care of our loved one, but then we realized we couldn't do it and had to hire someone else. And then by the time their loved one dies, They say, Lisa, we just have no money, even for a cremation. So everything revolves around money. And it's hard to imagine that sometimes because we don't always think about it. Before I started working in my current position, I was a part-time on-call night chaplain. And I did this for about 4 years, which was good, and it was my choice because I wanted to stay home with my children. Part of that meant that my paychecks were very small, and we relied on every cent that came in. Every month, I worried about not having enough money to do the fun things with the kids, not having enough money to have a special dinner out or a date with my husband, and my list of worries went on and on and on. This past April, I began working in a full-time position with hospice in the day. And in starting my job, it was an answer to so many of my prayers. And with having a full-time job, I thought I'd be able to put aside all of those money worries and say, it's done. But now that I'm not home, we pay for childcare. I pay more money in gas. We have more expenses somehow. And my list of worries goes on and on and on. But I'm not standing up here to complain about my financial situation. My point is that although my situation changed and I am making more money, my worry has remained the same. And this worry has not added to a single good thing in my life. If anything, it's added to my bad moods, communication breakdowns. It affects my sleep, my health, and it's caused me to become so concerned that I make irrational decisions about money, and I become like a pendulum that swings from being incredibly worried to being incredibly disconnected. Worrying does not and will not accomplish anything. Jesus gives us two illustrations in this passage, and he says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" I thought this was funny that Jesus points to the birds because I pictured in my mind, you know, we don't see birds flying and gathering the stockpile of worms and saving them for another day. It'd be a little strange to see that. The worms would probably escape. But I laughed at that. You know, birds don't make their nest in the same place year after year. They often seek their meal one meal at a time, and they don't have a place that they specifically call home. And yet God provides for them daily. Jesus reminds us that we are much more valuable than the birds, and if God provides even for the smallest of these creatures, would he not also provide for us? Birds kind of represent this type of freedom in our society. There have been so many songs written about birds and flying free and life without a care. And I love Bob Marley's song, Three Little Birds, that are singing, "Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right." You know, it's easy to hear those words, but it can be so difficult to allow God's truth of that to sink in. We will be all right, and we don't have to worry about a thing, because if God cares so much, even for the birds, certainly he will care for us. The second illustration, Jesus talks about the flowers of the field, and he says, "They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Here Jesus reminds us that if God clothes the grass of the field, makes it so beautiful that even Solomon didn't have that beauty, why do we worry about our clothing? When I started work, I realized that I couldn't wear jeans to work every day in my t-shirts, which would have been much more comfortable. And so I had to go and buy new work clothes because I felt that what I had on was going to change the way I do my ministry. Give me that confidence, which it does. But in doing that, if we focus and we can lose sight on what God's provisions are when we become so worried about the luxury of what we are wearing. And God will provide for us. It may not be exactly what we want, but he will provide for us. In both of these illustrations, Jesus points out that there is absolutely no need to worry about whether or not God is going to take care of us. So let's not worry about what we eat or what we drink or what we wear, because worry is just going to bring us more stress and anxiety. God knows our basic needs. So he invites us to let go of those worries and trust that he will provide and trust that he will care for us. Jesus closes the illustration and he says, "You of little faith," which is an expression that he directed at his disciples. And Jesus isn't rebuking them because they don't have enough faith. What he's saying to them, it's more of their lack of understanding of God's provisions. And he says to them that God has provided all along the way, and he wants them to recognize that. Now, it's easy for us to hear those words, trust in God. How many of you have heard somebody say, oh, trust in God, trust in God, trust in God? Which is true. I think we should trust in God. But trust can be really difficult when we grow up in a world that has brokenness, a world of mistrust and letdowns, which we've all probably experienced at some point in our lives. Early on in my childhood, my idea of what trust was supposed to be was shattered, and I didn't have a whole lot of trust in people. My idea of trust was so broken that it became easy for me to believe that God would provide for someone else, but that doesn't mean God's going to provide for me. I've heard amazing stories from friends about God's provisions and putting their full trust in God and how these amazing things came about. And yet I still struggle at times with letting go and letting God take control. I let my worry take hold of me, and I lose sight of God. I lose sight of the fact that he's always provided for me throughout my life, even in the moments when I could not recognize that. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, I was trying to think of a time when I fully trusted God, no reservations. Can you all think of a time like that? Okay. I'm glad to hear that, because I really struggled with this one. But what I came up with was, and there probably were some reservations in there, but when I lived in Hawaii and I was working at my church, I felt that God was nudging me to go to seminary. And so I finally decided to apply to Fuller, and I just did it. I filled out my application, I turned it in, sent off the papers, and I also sent it in over a year in advance because I misread the date. But when I sent it off, I had no idea how I would pay for seminary. I didn't even know if I would have enough money to move off the island. But I trusted that if this was God's nudging, that he was going to provide in some way. I wasn't going to make it happen on my own. I was going to have to trust that God had a plan. So when I was accepted to Fuller, I still had no idea how I was going to pay for my tuition. So I began applying for scholarships. And one of the biggest scholarships I received that I got each year was the Florence Chun Memorial Scholarship. Florence Chun was a great woman of faith who had this amazing devotion to God. And when she died, she chose to put her money into a scholarship fund so that people could receive a seminary education. And I was one of the first recipients of that scholarship. I am so grateful for Florence and her trust and devotion to God, because without that scholarship, I probably would have gone to seminary. I probably would have been in a lot of debt, and my worries would have probably skyrocketed so high that we couldn't even see the top of it. So when we trust in God with the little things of our lives, it opens the door for us to trust him with the bigger things. But trusting is a process, and so Jesus invites us into that process. And he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So how do we seek God's kingdom? You know, I'm not sure that I will ever be worry-free, but I want to believe that it's possible. When I first started working on call in California, I would get so worried about the pager going off and having to wake up and get to the hospital and get to this emergency and what if I was late and all these what ifs and these worries. And so I made it a practice every night that I was on call that when I left the hospital, I would walk up to the top of the parking garage, and there was one place, well, one wall really, that if you stood there, you could see the entire hospital. And I would go there and I would pray, Lord, I give you this hospital and I give you the people in it. You can take care of them. That prayer was enough to get me through the night, to know that I didn't need to worry because God was in control. Now, it didn't mean I didn't get called, but that prayer helped me to look at it in a different way, that when I was called in the middle of the night, not to worry, that I would get there when I got there, that God was in control. So God provides for us, whether we recognize it in our lives or not. He is providing for us. As a church, what does this look like for us? How can we seek God's kingdom? Over the past few years, I've observed this pattern around the end of the year where we start to worry about whether or not we're going to make our budget. We see the dollar amount that we're short by, and we allow that number to kind of become the focus. We try not to, but somewhere in the back burner, there is that number, and it's in our minds, and we're thinking about it, and we're wondering how are we going to make that. As a church, we need to remember that God knows our needs. He knows that we need to pay our bills. He knows that we have all these things that we do. He knows that we need to continue our ministries. But he invites us to let go of those worries and trust that he is going to provide as he always has. When we let money shape our thoughts and our actions, we allow that worry to become our focus. And it may not be money. It could be any other thing as well, whatever your worry is. But when we spend time worrying rather than doing those ministries as a church, we get distracted. Even in our own lives, we get distracted from what God is wanting us to do. In our lives, we know what worry does to us. It distracts us. It causes anxiety. It brings on a lack of sleep. It affects our health in so many ways. And it consumes our entire being. Jesus invites us to let go of those worries, to trust him with those little things so that we can trust him with the bigger things. He tells us, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough trouble of its own. Jesus invites us to come to this table, to set our worries aside, to give those over to him so that we aren't burdened by those. He invites us to this table as his friends, as his children.